Okay, we're in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's pray. Lord, as we open your incredible book, this unspeakable gift, we pray that you'd bless. Spirit of God, these are your words. And I pray that you'd be about them, busying yourself with them, that they would find a home in our heart. That we don't want to just be hearers. We don't want to go through an intellectual exercise. We don't want to get the download. We want this to profoundly impact our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, last week we kind of abruptly stopped. Well, I ran out of time. I knew I wouldn't get it all in. I wasn't trying to. We will today, okay? We'll finish off the book of Ephesians. You know, back in the day, there were a lot more hymns and songs about spiritual warfare than there are now. You have to be, say, if you just came into the kingdom in the last 10 to 20 years, you may not know that. Because you think ancient history is like Maranatha music or something like that. Before that, there wasn't, I say Isaac Watts and you look at me, you know, what's that? I have no idea about these, you know, I don't know who the Wesleys were or anything like that. So I get that. I totally get that. I'm telling you, music started before the 60s, okay? I mean, music's been around a long time, and they used to write hymns, and they had a lot of times they were a lot more about this idea of warfare. Why? Because it's a prominent theme in the Bible, and it's a prominent theme in our life. I've talked to people, and they say, like, I don't know about you. I don't know, you know, talk about that armor of God stuff, like, totally rocking it in my house. Satan never shows up, and I never am tempted by anything. I'm thinking, like, you know, either you're meeting Satan head on, or you're walking in the same direction. Those are the only options I can figure out. If somebody can show me a third one. I was looking at some songs online with this military theme, and there was a blog, and someone asked, you know, are there any songs out there about, you know, the battle and things like this? And one guy blogged back. They had this, like, open conversation that they were printing back and forth, and you can find these. The strings all over the internet. And one guy said, oh, I don't like talking about anything negative like that. I'm thinking, victim. I don't like to involve myself with warfare. Voice added by me. I read it, okay? But I always, you know, give them this kind of wimpy, spineless, jellyfish kind of, oh, warfare, that's so negative. You know, I think, like, how do you not involve yourself in warfare? Well, you lose. You're Satan's plaything. And, of course, I would have probably added to that. It's probably ancient. It's probably, you know, years and years ago they had this conversation. But there's a lot of Christianity like that. We want a bloodless, striveless, non-combating. And, by the way, I understand that. I'm a man of peace. He's going to wish peace to the people at Ephesus after he's told them about the armor of God. Isn't that something? And we talk about, you know, grace and peace, and we wish people grace and peace. Well, half of that grace and peace is peace. I don't want you to have strife. I don't want you to have warfare. And guess what? You're going to have strife, and you're going to have warfare. Or you're just again, Satan's smart enough to let a sleeping dog lay. If there's no fuss, no muss, if you're not opposing Satan, and by the way, how do you oppose Satan? Just stand for Jesus Christ. You'll run into him headlong. Trust me. I've done this for a long, long, long time. I mean, oppose Satan. Why? Because I've always been serious about Jesus as soon as I got saved. And now, it's kind of like the Bible says, smite the shepherd and the sheep scatter. I think I got more of a bullseye than I've ever had before. Satan always wanted to destroy my life. He always comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He always wanted to ruin my testimony. He always wanted to make a public, open, humiliate me. But now more than ever. I think, can we say that? I don't think I'm exaggerating or saying anything that isn't true. And so here we go. So I want you to think in terms of warfare. Not every day you're thinking like, okay, let's go, we'll duke this out. But it's just going to happen. And I think, like, a lot of us aren't prepared, and we haven't put on the armor of God, and we're victims. And I said last week, you know, I was in the Marine Corps, okay? They issue you equipment. They don't, like, let you do it your individual style, whatever. You can have your capri pants and your your cargo, some whatever, and your flip-flops running around the battlefield. They don't care about you expressing individuality. They care about you not getting blown up and hurting the platoon and the squad and the mission. And we're kind of concerned about that too. There are people who have, having done all to stand, and there are victims. I don't see any other category. And by victim, I mean you just kind of get led around by the nose by all the worldly wisdom, all the suggestions, all the stuff that's out there, and you're never encountering Satan because you're blood bought. I get that. But I'm off script now. Look, there's times in my life when I first got saved when blood bought, belonged to Jesus, and still in prison. Why? He sets the captives free. I was either didn't have enough wherewithal to get out of the prison, I liked the prison, or after he took me out of prison, I reconstructed a prison of my own making. Or am I the only one who does that, who's ever done that? And so to understand this concept and get our arms around it, it's all the difference between nominal Christianity and victory. Again, I would start talking about songs. Mighty Fortresses, Our God, Power in the Blood, Onward Christian Soldier. How often do we sing that? And you ever hear that in any churches these days? Onward Christian Soldier, marching as to war, with the trump of Jesus going on before. I think that's how that goes. Victory in Jesus. Battle Hymn of the Republic. That's a good one. Some of you don't know that by that name. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. And you go through the whole thing. It's all a battle motif the whole way through it. Faith is the victory. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. I don't know if I said stand up for Jesus. I think I'm going to, you say that doesn't sound like battle. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high the royal standard. It must not suffer loss. And the whole thing is, it goes on like that. It's all about, again, that battle motif. We shall overcome, lead on, O King Eternal. And there are songs nowadays, but they're less so. I mean, they will have a line or sometimes a stanza, but the whole thing is not always necessarily about that. There are a few, victory chant, kind of like that, and it's kind of like a fight song, and kind of like, you know, like you'd sing in a platoon as you're marching off to the battle. The Horse and Rider, Let God Arise, the rest of that is let his enemies be scattered. The Battle Belongs to the Lord is definitely a battle song. I mean, you know, we get that, we understand. New one, Love is War. Anyone know that one? Hillsong, Love is War? Oh, good, I've given you some homework now. You know that? You like that song, Love is War? It's really good. I like it a lot. And so there still is that, but they're fewer and farther between. And that's all I'm saying, because we're not, back in the day, this is one of the songs that kind of shaped my theology and shaped me. It's called Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Anyone know that song? You got to be like, me and Suze know that. Cool. None of you guys know that song, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? It goes, Am I a Soldier of the Cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Anyone ever hear me say that? Don't blush to speak the name Jesus. Say, is that where you got that? Well, as a matter of fact, yes. I told you, it shaped me. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace? To help me on to God. You ever hear me talk like that? Well, you think I get stuff like that. And it is, sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. And I love stuff like that. You know, things that are called to action. Rise, ye men of God. Have done with lesser things. And I think like this very, very often. I have, ideas in my brain sometimes. And I think, wait a second, I love Jesus. That didn't. And I get feisty with Satan. Get out of here. No how, no way. That ain't happening. No, you lose. Jesus, rebuke the devourer. And I pray and I rededicate myself to God. So much so that, you know, Satan knows, he knows what goes on there. And so he's, I think after a while, if you do that all the time, he's less likely to attack you in ways like putting thoughts and temptations and ideas in your head. Only, really. So, we're back into, I'm going to kind of read from verse 10 on. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Isn't that your strength? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Is he wily? Oh, yes, he is. So what do you put on? A couple pieces? No, the whole armor. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We've talked about that at length. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, it's faith walk, brothers, it's faith walk, sisters, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's stop there. We'll finish off the chapter today, God willing. We talked about loins girt with the truth, the belt of truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. We've been there. We did that. The feet shod, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. We talked about that, quenching fiery darts. Take the helmet of salvation. It's kind of where we left off. Listen, you got to know you're saved. It won't work any other way. You have to know that you're saved. We have people in churches all over America who don't know they're saved. I didn't know I was saved. I didn't know, well, because I wasn't. I didn't know how to get saved. I was on a gerbil on one of them little wheels, just going around in circles, doing religious activity and never coming any closer to salvation. A lot of religions like that. I speak against religion fairly often. I think we all know where this church stands on religion. Having said that, how do you know if you're saved? I don't know. I ask people, are you married? Like we're doing a W-2 at work. They got you for tax purposes, you have to be married or single. You have to be one of them. And some guys will leave that blank, and I'll say, married or single, you have to be one of them. Oh, sorry, married, they'll say. And they never get it wrong. Do you know if you're married? Yeah. Well, how do you know? I was there. You know, I had a tox. She had this. It was insane. I almost passed out in the pastor, and we exchanged vows, and there was a big festival dance, and everything was there. I can tell you who my best man, the maid of honor, was, and it's a big deal, right? Who doesn't know that they're saved? You say, well, I'm not sure. That's because you're not. If you didn't get married, you're not married. If you didn't get saved, you're not saved. And you have to know that. And if you don't, by the way, you're saying, I don't know that I'm saved. Well, that's a good thing. Talk to me later about it. We'll take you from not knowing to knowing, okay? I'm not going there right now. That's the whole book of Ephesians about. You save one. This is what is yours in Christ. But you have to know you're saved. Why? You're not going to win the battle. You don't know that God's on your team. You don't know that you're working and operating the strength of his might. You're still trying to earn God's favor by, if I do certain things, maybe he'll... How do you do that and overcome Satan at the same time? Bootstraps religion. It won't work. It didn't work for me. There wasn't a time in my life I didn't know right from wrong. There wasn't a time in my life I didn't know, sex sin was wrong. I don't remember a time in my life I didn't know it was wrong to steal. I didn't know a time in my life where I didn't know it wasn't wrong to lie. But I didn't have the wherewithal, I had the understanding, but I had the motivation, because I was trying not to go to hell. I didn't have the power. That's what religion does. Here, do this. Well, how do I do it? Just do it. White knuckle. Do it. Well, I can't. Try harder. My own sinful flesh beat Satan, overcome the flesh, overcome temptation. I'm overcoming the flesh with my flesh. Can somebody tell me how that works? Because I tried it, and it doesn't work. Religion doesn't work. Only never. You have to have this helmet that covers your brain bucket, knowledge, the seed of knowledge. You have to know that you're saved. It's the only way that salvation works. It's the only way it could possibly work. I'd like to spend... I was thinking of taking like this and go 1 week on each thing, but I thought people would get exasperated. Again, some of these kind of dovetail nicely into the other ones. Take the helmet of salvation, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's the offensive weapon. Are you going to need that? Oh, yeah. And I told you, it's really... I just think that the best, and I talked about this a little bit last week, Jesus and Satan... Jesus is being tempted by Satan. This is what we're talking about, enduring temptation. Jesus showed us how that works. And I told you last week, hey, you're the Son of God, huh? Take these stones and make them into bread. If I were Jesus, I would have made him into bread. Take that. Birds come and peck them. Bother me no more, fool. But I can't do that, and you can't do that. What did Jesus do? What you and I can do? Ah, Satan, I ain't doing that. I go by the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. It's not just saying Bible verses. It's the verse that fit the situation. So I get tempted to drink alcohol. You think, you don't still. Yeah. It just means Satan's alive and well. And he says, you should have a drink. Don't be all legalistic and stuff like this. It's not for kings. It's not for kings to drink alcohol. Proverbs 3, you say, you don't see yourself as a king, do you? I certainly see myself as a leader, don't you? Don't you? And I tell Satan, it ain't happening. This is what the word says. This is what I go by. I go by the word. You see how that works? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God didn't tell me to do that. I ain't listening to you. That's what Jesus, I'm adding to him. This is what he's implying. I think so. You're telling me? You don't tell me. The Bible tells me. So we just live by the Bible. If we're just Bible people, give me your verse. Give me your strong reason why you're acting the way you're acting. What verse are you standing on? That's so critical to everything. Take the word of God. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication. Does that kind of like deflate you a little bit? You get this belt of truth. You get this breastplate of righteousness, right? Your feet are shod with and you kind of like, you know, you're in your, and you got your helmet on, you got your sword, you got your shield. Come on, bring it. And you know, I don't know if this works for women, but guys, it's kind of like, you know, all right, I'm ready. Big showdown now, and you're all praying always. Oh, man, praying? Really? Praying? Beseeching? Begging? Praying? Does anyone feel like that? I mean, maybe I'm putting thoughts in your head that were never there before. Has anyone ever thought that besides me? Because I kind of used to think that a lot. Like, it was kind of like, you know, because I'm young and stupid, you know, and I'd well up in this mighty, you know, regalia that God has given us, praise his holy name, but it was part of more about me and the power of my might, and having done all the stand, I'm going to stand, no one's pushing me backwards, I'm going to stand, and I had that, you know, kind of, I still had that, I don't always act like that, but I still kind of think like that, don't you, guys, some of you? Okay, just me. All right, that's okay, but it's just me, I can live with that. But I always thought prayer was kind of like because, you know, I think about prayer like, you know, oh, Lord, we beseech thee, we beg thee, we plead with thee. Please change your mind about the thing that you don't want to do and do it my way. Now, if you think like that, I don't know what your prayer life looks like, and probably it's not very successful, and probably you're struggling, and probably, listen, I think this about prayer. Marching orders. You know, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to see? You know, this is military, right? He's the commanding officer. Me? Lieutenant. butterball at that, 90-day wonder. I didn't, nothing special about me. You know, corporal. I was a corporal in the Marine Corps, NCO. Right? General? Nah, I didn't make it that high. Well, at least a sergeant major. Nah, corporal. Nothing. You know, NCO. Right? That's me. Well, I could take orders. Took a lot more orders than I gave, you know, being low on the food chain, you know. I could take orders. I get that. But I think prayer is more than that, too. I think prayer, look at, that's the equalizer. That's, no, it's way beyond. Does prayer move the hand of God? I think so. God says, if you'll do this, if you'll pray, if you'll humble yourself and pray, and this is what I'll do. If you do these three, I'll do these four. And you know, in Second Chronicles, it says, you know, if people will call by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. There's another part there, I can't remember. Somebody could help me out there if you get it. And then I will heal their, I will answer their prayer, I'll heal their land, and there's something else that he promises us. It's four things that we're supposed to do, and he promises three things. You can look up the verse, you know what I'm talking about. Does prayer move the hand of God? Yeah. Why isn't God healing our land? We're not praying, we're not humbling ourselves, we're not seeking his face. I mean, it's obvious, it's a cause and effect universe. That works only all the time. If we're all prayerful all the time, you think things would be different here in America? Yes, I think so. I don't think sin would be running rampant like it is now. And listen, we can blame, oh, you know what the problem is? The administration. The last administration before that, and the administration before that, as a matter of fact. And you know what the problem is? Because these wicked people keep voting for wicked people, and I'm thinking like, well, yeah. Whose fault is that? Ours. I mean, let's take responsibility. We're not turning this land around. Why? Because we're not victors. We're not doing it right. We're not praying right. I think prayer is like nuclear weapons, okay? Deal with that saying. What are you going to do? God's starting moving, and God's answering prayer. See, think about prayer, and I want you to rethink this a little bit. It's not about us getting our own way. I'm praying for $1 million. I'm praying for... I did. I used to. Suze was praying against me. She won. God won. I don't think I would have been good with $1 million at all. Doesn't he want to bless me? Yeah. I don't think that would bless me. I think that's why he never gave it to me. What's prayer? We pray. The disciples came to Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray. All right, pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we praying for? Praying for the millennial kingdom. I got a question. If we don't pray for the millennial kingdom, or don't even believe in it, will it still come? Oh, yeah. What if we pray against it? Will it still come? Yeah. So if we pray, thy kingdom come on earth, you know, like it is in heaven, like where, you know, in heaven, when you say, I want this done, like we get a quorum, secret ballot, we vote down God. No, Psalm 2. Read about that. When people are against God, God laughs. He holds them in derision. Hey, you know, the armies of the world, when Jesus comes, he's going to set up his kingdom. They're going to be arrayed against the Savior, against the Son of Man, against the Prince of Peace. He's going to establish peace in this world. They're arrayed against him with their regalia, their nuclear, their squirt guns. He's God. He's Almighty God. Is his kingdom going to come? Yeah. And you're praying about it, brings it. Pray against it, see if it doesn't come. I think this is kind of instructive to me because my thinking is, I want to pray the things that he wants to happen anyway. It's more of an invitation for me to be involved in his program. Does it change the outcome of things? I don't know all I know about prayer. I could talk about things for a long, long, long time here. I was thinking about like a study, like about a 4 or 5 or 6 week study on prayer. But I think like, you know what I'd rather do? Those of you who are really about prayer, find out about it right from, if I said the horse's mouth, that's almost like unholy or something. Right from the fountain, the source. Lord, you want me to pray? Tell me about prayer. Show me how to pray. Like the disciples came to Jesus. How do I do this? What am I supposed to be doing? What's my attitude supposed to be like? Why does this seem like it's very ineffectual? Why? And go. I think you have to do that. This is where I am right now in my life. I just am. I'm trying to find out all what I know about prayer. I know what the scripture says about, but I don't have it experientially. Like I walk in this close communication all the time, like I have this open discourse on the vertical. I pray. I mean, you must know that, right? But it's not like I sometimes I feel like, you know, we connect in the, and I take it in faith that we are, but I don't feel that like I'm, you know what I mean? We have to have it. It's part of the arsenal. And it's not the equalizer. It's what puts us way ahead. What defense does Satan have against prayer? You big strong man, you get this one captive. That one, Jesus shed his precious blood to liberate that one. You're a usurper. Pray against that hold in his life, and we'll see if it isn't dissolved. Have you ever prayed for somebody who got saved? Bam! Take that, Satan. How you like losing? Listen. How does that work? I don't know. Does prayer move the hand of God? Now, you can look at, you get four gospel accounts. You get the book of Acts. You know, Paul would pray. Boom, this would happen. Well, how does Satan stand against that? Is that an awesome weapon? Let's keep moving because we can talk about it a lot. Praying always with all prayer. With all prayer means all kind of prayer. Worship, sure. Confession, I should think so. Thanksgiving, oh, please be a thankful people. Supplication, the part where we ask. Yeah, I think sometimes in prayer, that's all of our prayer. Okay, run into his presence. God, I want, and now we got our list, you know, like Santa Claus in the sky. I want this and this and this and this and this and this, and do this for me and this for me and this for me and this for me. Yes, ask. He wants us to say, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our debts. He wants those things. But if that's all prayer is, I'm thinking it's inadequate. It's not what it's supposed to be. Pray with all kinds of prayers, with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit. Is he talking about speaking in tongues? No, he's talking about spiritual, because I mentioned that because in 1 Corinthians 14, when he's talking about praying in the Spirit, he is referring to speaking in tongues. Here he's just saying praying in the Spirit. Spiritually, it's a spiritual discipline, it's a spiritual exercise in your inner man, in your, I don't know how to say this right. Is it heartfelt? Yeah. Is there emotion involved? You've wept before the Lord, haven't you? I'm assuming that. I mean, it's called life when something really happens really bad. I mean, you're obviously your heart is before God, you're poured out, you're, why does our life look like it does very often? It's a fallen world, and I think God brings us to these different circumstances to bring us to an end of ourselves and to bring us to that place where we can only rely on Him. Supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, don't give up, and supplication for all saints. You just pray for yourself all the time? That's a bad idea. It's just an extension of our self-involvement as a culture. Selfies. Take a selfie and send it to God, you know. Me and Susan talking about selfies on the way down. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I'm sorry. I'm not nervous around a camera, but I'm not always like pointing it at myself. But let's keep moving. I probably shouldn't have said anything. And for me, that utterance may begin. Oh, don't you pray for everyone? Pray for all the saints? Pray for me. Guys, I hope you pray for me. Why? That utterance may begin unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. God forbid that I should ever hold back whatever God wants me to say. Why would I not? Because it wouldn't be appreciated or accepted. Do I wrestle with that sometimes? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, this is going to go over like a lead balloon. But I have to say what God wants me to say. And pray for that end. Do you want the whole message, I guess, is the answer. And pray for me, that I may open my mouth boldly, make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. So he's put on the whole armor of God, and what has it done for him? He ends up in jail. All right, listen, we're not talking about he's victorious in jail. We're not talking about this is going to be, I don't want to present Christianity to you as root beer and Skittles. Every day is a holiday, every meal is a banquet, and everything always breaks in your favor. When you serve Jesus Christ, sometimes you end up in jail. That's okay. He's an ambassador in jail. He still gets it. This is what you got for me. I ain't serving you anymore, Lord. And he just understands this is just, this is nothing. These trivial little jail, psh, nothing but a thing. Three hots in a cot, I'm good. And that's in America. His jail was not like our jail. So here he is, and he's like, all right, Lord, if that's what you have for me, if that's how you have me, the furtherance of the gospel, okay, I'm good with that. Whatever. I don't want to sound real cavalier, but I have an idea he's come to peace with it. Hey, I'm an ambassador in bonds. It's not like I deserted my, I'm not in the army anymore. I was just relocated to a remote duty station, and my primary, focal point right now is not starting a church so much as converting these guards. Did he do that? Be chained to Paul the Apostle 4 to 6 hours a day and see if you don't love Jesus or kill him, one or the other. I don't think there's any in between there. I'm an ambassador in bonds that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Don't ever not say what God's called you to say. This is for me, but this is for you too. When you determine God wants you to say it, just say it. Well, I did last time and they got very mad. Sometimes say what you want. You feel God wants you to say. And if they stew in their own juice, that's okay. That's fine. We're not responsible for how people receive the truth, only that we say what God wants us to say. But that you may also know that I in my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, so beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, that he might comfort your hearts. Why? Because Paul doesn't blog. He doesn't have Pony Express. He has Tychicus, and he'll tell you all the stuff that's happening. Because the church of Ephesus, they love Paul, and they want to know. And he says, okay, I'm going to send him back. What do we know about Tychicus? He's a beloved brother and faithful minister. Boy, if they just said that about you and I, that's good enough for me, right? He's a faithful brother, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, and he's going to tell you all the stuff. I'm sending him for that reason, that you might know our affairs, that he might comfort your hearts. Now, peace be to you, brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace be to you, you soldiers of the cross. I hope peace in your life. I want to see peace. I don't want to see conflict. I don't want to see warfare. I want to see peace, but it's got to be peace on God's terms. Otherwise, it's just compliance. Otherwise, we're sidelined. We're not in the battle anymore. Peace on Satan's terms? No. Steal, kill, destroy guy? No. And even if it's just a hill of beans, some of you will know what I'm referring to from weeks gone by. They're God's beans, and I am not giving them up. I'm not stepping back. I'm not shutting up. I'm not giving one inch. Bloodstained ground is, we don't have the authority to negotiate that away. Peace be to you, brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. You say, he's got no more verses. It's early. We're going to get out early. Relax. Remain calm. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2, and if you are familiar with Revelation 2, you know where I'm going. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, chapter 2, verse 1. Jesus writes 7 letters to 7 churches. In this, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the same Ephesus. They were rocking it. They were doing good. Their pastor was Paul the Apostle. Your pastor, somewhat less, by a lot. And the reason I say this is because they can't say, we'd be a better church, but, we weren't charismatic enough. Excuse me? Paul the Apostle is your pastor. But the doctrine was a little fuzzy. It wasn't really quite worked out, fleshed out like it should be. Paul's doctrine is suspect? Are you kidding me? No. They had it going for him. And then later on, after Paul isn't the pastor anymore, you know who is? Any of you? John. You're not the John. Yeah, John. You know the right hand of at the Last Supper, John, the one who wrote the gospel, John. John was their pastor after that. So they went from Paul to John. And then after that to Polycarp, but that's a story for another time. I mean, they had some like really sound doctrine. They had it all going for them. And they really were well fed. They were well nourished. You say, this church is going to last forever. Well, let's see. Because about 30 years after Paul writes to the Ephesians, Jesus writes to the Ephesians. Let's see the report card. Let's see what Jesus has to say to them. Unto the angel, that's the messenger. It could be angel, like you and I would think of angel. It could be messenger. It could be pastor. In that case, John is writing to John, which is kind of weird if you think about it, because John's right, the revelator. You understand that, right? Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. We found out earlier the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. But let's keep going. Jesus says to the church of Ephesus, verse 2, I know your works. I know what you're doing. Is that good or bad? Well, it depends if your works are good or bad. But he knows them all, regardless. I know your works and your labor. You think, that's good. I know how hard you work and your patience and how you can't bear them which are evil, and you've tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and you found them liars. Jesus is sharing this. You ferreted out those wrong apostles, and Jesus is giving them an A on their report card. When Paul meets with the church of Ephesus on the beach of Miletus, he says, there's going to be coming these wolves they're not going to spare the flock, and you guys have got to discover them and don't let them have their way in the church. You are there to protect that flock from being preyed upon by wolves. Did they do that? Well, Jesus says, yeah. So these apostles come, oh, we're apostles, we're apostles, we're not even be apostles. And they say, get out of here with that stuff. We ain't got no time for that. And Jesus says, very commendable. You did real good. He's given them an A on the report card about that. What's the first piece of the armor? Belt of truth. Yes. Everything else is built on that. You can't think wrong and live right. Never. Never. I know your works, I know your labor, I know your patience and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and you've tried them which say they are apostles or not. You've found them to be lies. Very, very good. And you've borne, and you have patience, and for my name's sake, you've labored, and you have not fainted. You just keep going. You're just like the Energizer Bunny. I love that about you, Jesus is saying, and I'm embellishing. Embellishment provided by Adam, words provided by Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, you know how it is. You know how it is. Your boss calls you in. Okay, you're going to have a conference. It's time for your yearly, quarterly, half-annual valuation, whatever, right? He calls you and he says, I like your work ethic. You're here on time. You do really good work, quality work. You got good hygiene. You're polite. But, and you don't know where you're going with this. Right? That was good. And you're like, and you're thinking like, okay, the Connor office, big raise coming. I can feel the bump of the increase in my pay. And you're all happy. And he's telling you how wonderful you're doing. And then nevertheless, and then it just takes all the wind out of your sails, right? That's this. It's like, hey, you're doing these remarkable things. Don't think I don't notice it. And by the way, you people who are living remarkably for Jesus Christ, can I just remind you? He knows. We might not see, we might not take notice, we might not thank you all the time. In the boss's office on payday, you'll get your reward. Okay, it doesn't have to be thank yous by people. It can be in the form of like, I saw, you were rocking it, you were awesome, I saw it, I saw how hard you worked, I saw what you did. And trust me on that. You can't give a drink of water in his name, but he doesn't write it down. He doesn't notice it. He doesn't remember it. It's coming back on you. You've done all this wonderful thing. Nevertheless, well, okay, bring it. What is it? I have something against you. You've left your first love. The first love is love of espousal. It's not a love, it's a person. What is he saying? You've left who? Me. Jesus. Is that a big thing or a little thing? I think it's kind of a big thing. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's like, wow. I mean, think about it. I'm your pastor, and I just don't know the word very good. That's kind of a big thing, Adam. But I got a good work ethic. You know, you say, yeah, that's good. But we kind of, it's kind of important that you know the word. I'm pastor here, but I don't pray ever. I'm mighty and I'm awesome, and I don't need to call on God for anything. I can do everything my own self. Adam, wrong, and that's kind of a big deal. Is this a big deal? It's a real big deal, isn't it? It's a church about Jesus without Jesus. Are you feeling hey, you've left your first love. You didn't lose your first love. It's not like Joseph and Mary. They botched it, right? Remember, I think it's Jesus' bar mitzvah. It's there in the early chapters of Luke, chapter 3 or 4. I can't remember. And Jerusalem, they're at Jerusalem, and they leave, and they think he's with them, and they lost him. It's not that. You left your first love. The love of your spousal. You left. I'm here. You went away. Is that a problem? Listen. Having done all to stand for, therefore. Have they stood? No. This is huge. This is bigger than big. This is, left your first love. Because at the end of the day, you're working, you're doing all this great stuff. Hey, I check it out. You got the clothes closet, you got a food closet going, you're teaching little kids, you're reaching out to the homeless shelter and the battered woman shelter, and you're giving money to missions. And I see it all. I wrote it all down. You're volunteering for everything on the, remember me? Because even with the all the armor on stuff, it's still about Jesus all the time. And if at the end of the day, if our report card comes back, you've left your first love, all the commendations just all went away in my thinking. All the pluses, when you put the pluses and the minuses together, the pluses are good, but the minus just outweighed them all. You've left your first love. What does he call us to do in a situation like that? Remember? I love memory. I remember my time when I was really walking with the Lord and I was really super tight, when he was my best first thought in the morning, and I thought about him all day long, and I closed my eyes at night praying to him, worshiping him, telling him how much I love him, how much I was thankful for the day. I remember that. Memory's good. It says, remember wherefore you're from whence you are fallen. It was a fall. I was supposed to stand, but I've fallen. Repent. Oh, what a lovely word. He gives us the prescription. Repent. It's just that easy. You remember that? How you used to be? Turn around. Do what you used to do. When was the last time you and Jesus were like super tight, when it was like just awesome, good fellowship, and you loved him and you served him and you were... Go back to that place. What were you doing when you did that? Do that thing again. Well, I got up early in the morning and I opened the Bible and I was looking for him in the pages of Scripture. And we were having this really awesome time. Do that. Repent, remember, and return. Go back to do your first works, he says. Or else, there's an or else. When Jesus gives you an or else, I don't even want to read the rest of this verse. Or else, I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Did Jesus do that? Well, is there a church in Ephesus? How many Christian churches in Turkey, which was one, the very seat of the Christian church? All seven letters are written to seven churches, and they're all in Turkey. Did Jesus come and remove his candlestick? Let God determine that. Will he come and remove ours? Listen, guys, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. When you know to do something, do it. No excuses. Don't let Satan come. He's only here for one reason: steal, kill, and destroy. Do not allow it. How? We move out in the power of his might. Are you awesome? You're awesome in Christ. Has he given you all things pertaining to life and godliness? He has. What are you missing? Nothing. Return, repent, remember, do what he calls us to do. And that's That's it. That's it. That's the difference between an also-ran and living and loving and serving Jesus Christ. Let's stand, let's pray, and Matt will come and send us out of here in song. Lord, we thank you for your awesome words and awesome book. And Lord, if any of us are on the outside looking in, if we have fallen, if we haven't done all to stand, reestablish us, Lord. I love the fact that nothing's been irretrievably compromised with you ever. As long as we have life and breath, the battle's still on. And Lord, we want to be found soldiers of the cross, followers of the Lamb. We're not about flowery beds of ease here in about serving you all the time. Bless us, Lord, with your strength. Encourage us to take advantage of the wonderful opportunities you've given us. And we want to count for you and for your kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.